My funny little Valentines, how are you doing? I personally love Valentine's Day, but I know not everybody feels that way. I think it's super cute, even when I was single. This episode's for everybody. And if you hate Valentine's Day, you're still gonna love this episode if you like my content, because I'm answering those questions that are a little more steamy, a little more spicy, and a little more fun. So welcome back to Beyond the Bedroom. Let's get into it. I've always loved Valentine's Day. I don't know what it is. I remember like in elementary school, the only award I ever won in elementary and middle school was this Valentine's Day outfit contest I had in second grade. I was like, oh yeah, this is my time to shine. I just loved it. The frilliness, the bows, the pink and red. There was something about it that just made me so happy, and I've always really loved it. And I still have that energy today. And I love Galentine's too. I love that Parks and Rec, that show, made it a little more mainstream. And I'm so sad to be missing my friend's cute Galentine's gathering because I'm headed to New York. But yeah, that's some exciting news. I'm going to New York this week, going back to my hometown. And if any of my girls are listening down in DC, I hope you have an extra cupcake for me. And I'm really sad to be missing it, but I want to make this episode answering those fun, spicy questions that don't always make it into my sex ed content, but it's still sex ed. You're still going to learn something. You might be like, oh, people are into that, or you might just be like, this is nice to listen to. I find it kind of relaxing to listen to this kind of stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but there won't be any questions about like difficult matters or heartbreak or sadness, and there won't be any topics involving me giving you a breakdown about how the cells in the vagina work or anything like that. So this episode is all about those spicy, lovely questions I get from my fantastic audience. I love that you guys submit these. You're always allowed to submit a question to me anonymously or just via DM. I didn't want to include any voice notes in this one, but the next one will probably have them. You can send me a voicemail for the podcast. So for me personally, my Valentine's Day is long distance. And so I'm feeling both that coupled up vibe and the solo vibe this year, because we are a 6-hour plane ride away from each other. And I know that distance does make the heart grow fonder. I've definitely felt that. But I don't know, when I do see him, I have some catching up to do. I get to celebrate Valentine's Day and our wedding anniversary and all those Icelandic partner appreciation days all at once when I come to visit. So I guess it's not that bad. But anyway, here's the more important stuff. We're going to start off with some listener questions. And remember, if you love the podcast and you want to support me and Beyond the Bedroom and some comprehensive sex ed, you can check out the discount codes I have to sites like Unbound and Fur, which not only give you a discount, but they help support me and my work, and they will all be linked in the podcast description. So this first one is called Coach Me. So my boyfriend and I love to work out together, and in the gym, he's really great at coaching me. He's the perfect blend of sweet and motivational while being kind of tough on me. I get really turned on, especially when he's telling me what a great job I'm doing. I wish this would translate to the bedroom, but he's actually really shy and super quiet. He barely makes noise, and when he does, I can tell he's trying to be quiet. I've told him it turns me on, but he says he doesn't know what to do or how to sound. How do I get to the point where he's comfortable being more vocal, and is there anything that he can do to practice? So this is actually really common. So I just want to start off by saying that there are so many men out there, straight men, that one, they're afraid to make noise because they feel like it's weird. They're not supposed to do that. But two, they get really surprised when they find out there is an entire online community of women who just absolutely love like audio erotica and smut, like erotica books and stuff like that, where it's specifically this type of thing, like sweet but sexy and motivational. I used to work in audio erotica, as a lot of you may know. It's pretty wild just how much people go nuts for this. I mean, it can be so stimulating mentally to kind of put you in that headspace of somebody walking you through it, coaching you through it, telling you that you're doing such a great job. I talk about praise kinks a lot because it's actually kind of a hot topic in in my field, but I think that there's a reason why this is like so hot, you know? So it might be uncomfortable if this wasn't modeled for him. Maybe he does need a little bit of guidance, and it might not matter how much you tell him, like, oh, I love when you talk to me like that, because he might not understand the context for it in the bedroom. Some people also get so in their head when you tell them to do something more because they get super self-analytical. So let's break it down. So great job telling him how you feel, because this is like the most important part. It's always great to be able to say to your partner, oh, I'm so turned on by this. I love when you do this. I want more of this. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily always going to give it to you, but it's worth a shot, right? Like I mentioned, it might not have been modeled for him. So try out an audio erotica app on your own and then find something that turns you on the most. So find something that reminds you of him. And if this is applicable to your relationship, it might not be. So just, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But maybe what you want to do is tell him, hey, I love this thing you do so much and it's so sexy. And I found this app and I listened to one and it turned me on so much. Do you want to hear a little snippet of it? And then you are sharing something that's so vulnerable and open. And it's like you kind of, you know, got off on this, you touched yourself to this, and it's just as open and vulnerable as he might feel when he's having to open up and make more noise during sex. And it might be a good starting point because you're willing to share this part of you, you're willing to open up about this, you're willing to show such an intimate part of what you're into that maybe it helps him feel more comfortable. Or, you know, if there's something like a passage in a book that you've read that's really hot, and you're not telling him, hey, this is what you should do, I want you to copy this, you're normalizing it, that this is something that people are into, that he is capable of doing this. Or if there's any specific phrases that he uses at the gym, you know what would be really hot is like when he says that to you at the gym, you can be like, oh, I want you to tell me that later. Or when you're together, like later, if you're like hooking up, you can model it back to him and you can be like, did I do a good job? Am I doing a good job? Like stuff like that. And then it's like you're asking him those questions and you're telling him like, I want you to tell me if I'm doing a good job, like stuff like that. And then even if he's just saying yes, it's like you're kind of getting that bit of it. It's so hot. I understand. I love going to the gym with my husband. I totally get this. I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to. And I think a lot of people don't realize how validating it is, and it can help people feel so good about themselves in bed. Or even just like the coaching part, like that piece is so important. And there's even entire sections in audio erotica that is dedicated to this. That's like, coach me through it, where someone's telling you what to do and telling you how to take it and all that stuff. So also sometimes people might make noise and be a really vocal people like outside of the bedroom. But when it comes to making noise inside the bedroom, they're just naturally more quiet, and that's okay. And that's when those phrases are going to come in handy, where you're, because it sounds like he's open and he wants to practice and he wants to do this. He's just kind of self-aware and insecure and in his head about it. So what you can do is use those phrases in those moments. And also you might want to do this at like that turning point. So what I mean by that is it can be that like flirty banter before things get going, or it can be part of, you know, that point where things go from flirty and touchy and like wanting each other to, there's like a certain like a tipping point where it's like, okay, now we're doing something else. Like now we're not just making out anymore. Like it's whatever you're doing around it. It's like whether hands go down or shirts come off or whatever, it can be during that time too. So it's already setting the scene and it's already setting it up. Some people just don't want to be too aware of what they're doing. It makes them feel really weird to be too aware that they're having sex. So you might also want to try just talking about sex more outside the bedroom, because it gets him to open up about what he likes, and he can practice it in a safe setting where there's no performance anxiety about it. There's no, oh, like, what am I going to say? Or what should I do right now? Or what if this doesn't come out right? Or what if this isn't sexy? It's just talking about what you're into. And in the next couple months, I'll definitely have a really cool new project centered around this. So watch this space, as they say. But yeah, talking about your sex life outside the bedroom definitely benefits being able to vocalize. And he's already so good at this. It's already part of his personality. You just need to bridge that gap between him being able to do this in a sexy way. And you can just tell him, like, you don't need to change anything. You don't have to become a character. You don't have to play a role. You are sexy. I find you sexy. I want you to do this to me the way you do it, exactly how you do it in the gym. When you're spotting me and you're telling me, like, one more, or you're almost there, you got this, you're doing a good job, and all that stuff, that's the type of stuff I want. And you can even give him, like, specific examples, like, when I'm going down on you, can you use some of those phrases? Because it really gets me going, and it makes me do an even better job. Frame it also like you're bringing more pleasure. You're not saying, this is what I need to feel good. It's like, I feel so good, but I want to feel even better. I use that phrase a lot when I'm helping people bridge that gap. I tell them to make sure their partner understands you're so into them that you want more of them. They're not lacking, you want more. And for some people, it might be uncomfortable to take up more space in the bedroom, and that's why I'm telling you, just try to talk about sex more regularly outside of the bedroom. You become more comfortable sharing that part of yourself and also exploring that part of yourself in front of someone else. So that's also why maybe sharing something that you find really hot, or an audio erotica or a passage that you've read that's sexy, might also help him realize, oh, okay, this is something that she's into, and she can share this with me so I can work on this with her. You can even ask those phrases like, tell me how you like it, or am I doing a good job for you? Like, make it really personal, so then he has to answer in a more personal way than just yes or no. And a good starting off point for him as a direction would be, answer me back by, like, restating the question. So it's like, am I doing a good job for you? Then he says, you're doing such a good job for me. And then he gets into the habit of being more full of praise instead of just simple yes or no's. But obviously it's hard when you're, like, been doing something for a really long time a certain way, or also when you're in the heat of the moment. It's not always easy to change things or change habits, but if he's willing to try, it's a really great exercise to do. And you can do it also outside the bedroom and then see how it happens naturally when you get together in the bedroom. All right, so next question is called sex tapes. My partner and I recently discovered that we love recording ourselves and making little sex tapes. I trust that he won't send them anywhere, but how can we ensure that they won't be accidentally spread? I want to make sure these spicy videos are for our eyes only. Okay, my number one tip here is, if you are recording on your phone, put it in airplane mode, okay? If you're recording yourselves having sex, doesn't matter if you're holding it, it's on a tripod, you're recording a nude, whatever, put that phone in airplane mode. Turn off the Wi-Fi, turn off the Bluetooth. I cannot stress this enough. Put it in airplane mode. Don't use apps like Instagram or Snapchat or something to record. I know, like, the camera might be better, but just use the camera that you're, or you can just put it in airplane mode if you want to use those apps. But be careful, because you might be accidentally, like, saving it as a draft or something, or it'll upload later or whatever. Don't put any unnecessary worries. So if you're using your phone, airplane mode it up. If you're sending them back and forth, use an encrypted chat, use WhatsApp or something that's really secure, that is password protected, but do not download those apps that are password locked folders, because most smartphones have those hidden folders anyway. And I wouldn't use, like, the cloud. I wouldn't be, like, sharing a cloud with, like, a hidden folder. Sometimes that can kind of get tricky. But just keeping them, like, in a separate WhatsApp chat. But you can also get a device to keep all this stuff on. So some people use, like, old school camcorders, which is really fun. Others have, one partner has the content and you don't send it back and forth because you live together and you can just watch it together. Or some people, like, store everything on a hard drive. I feel like that's a little bit extreme, but, you know, to each their own, I guess. But yeah, I think it's a really normal thing to be worried about this stuff. I mean, people make sex tapes all the time, but we see them leaked all the time. We have seen them leaked since before the internet. I mean, hello, they used to literally have them on VHS and DVD, and then they started becoming uploaded to the internet, which I find so wild. But sex tapes are not a new thing, but sex tape leaking is definitely not a new thing. So if you are trying to keep it also away from people in your life that might snoop, you want to really focus on those hidden folders and make sure the thumbnail of the folder is like something super random, like take a screenshot of a recipe online and like put that there or something. So yeah, you can like enjoy taking those nudes and having those nudes and ensuring that they won't be spread around accidentally. But if you're talking about how can I ensure that they're not accidentally spread, make sure that you guys are on the same page with this is only for us. And also decide now what you're going to do in case you were to break up. I would want them to be deleted, or we would delete all of them together, or have it also maybe in writing, like have maybe a code word or something. Have the password always if you're using those hidden folders, and just be really transparent with each other. I know it's kind of wild, but you never know what'll happen, and you definitely want to make sure that these things are protected. So I don't want to get too heavy on the Valentine's Day episode, but taking nudes is fun. Making little sex tapes with your partner is totally normal and enjoyable and exciting for a lot of people. So keeping them safe and out of harm's way and for your eyes only can definitely be ensured with those little tips. And if anybody has some other tips they want to share, let me know and I'll give a little update. Because although obviously I'm very familiar with the tech, there might be some tips I'm missing, so let me know. Before we continue, I just want to say that I'm in my bedroom right now, and it is so cozy. I have my little candle on, and it's raining outside, and I feel like this is something out of one of those, like, YouTube cozy jazz photos, you know? I cannot even begin to describe the levels of cozy that I'm feeling at the moment. All right, anyway, the next question is called Competing Cowgirls, and they gave me this question, and then they, gave me some context, so it'll be more clear. All right, they said, our dynamic is shifting, and while I do enjoy being the receiver, I enjoy being on top more, if I'm being honest. Our dynamic definitely is changing, but I am afraid to lose the essence of topping more so than the actual act of being the giver. So I reached out, and I was like, hey, because this one wasn't anonymous, and I was like, hey girl, want to give me a little context for this? And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just sent it when I was like, she sent it when she was like a little high. And she was like, I thought you would just get it. But obviously I understand, but I just wanted to clarify because I don't want to give advice that's not useful. So they're a lesbian couple, woman loving woman couple. And when they first started dating, the girl who sent this in, she was more of a top always. And that doesn't necessarily mean that she's always like a giver and the other one's a receiver, but because she was using that those words like in this context, I wanted to just clarify what she meant. They're in their dynamic, the other person's also kind of dominant. So top and bottom don't always mean giver and receiver. It can also mean the person who's more directive or in control of a situation, or the question from earlier, like the person giving more praise, for example, like that can be someone who's at the top, but it's usually the person kind of directing a little bit more. And then bottom isn't necessarily always a receiver. It can also mean a submissive, but some people think of it totally different because believe it or not, there's not like an actual definition. Like there's not a complete consensus on all of this stuff. Some people also use it like the top is always the giver, like they're the person who tops the bottom, you know, but they don't always have to be dominant. They might be submissive, they may be averse, like whatever. And I'm not going to get too lost in the sauce here with the phrases, but in this context, she was meaning the act of topping, but she was also kind of talking about the dynamic of topping. She said that she was afraid of losing the essence of topping more so than the actual act of being the giver. So that's where I was like, okay, I can definitely help you with this. So we should meet each other halfway, right? That should be the goal for you guys. Try to meet each other halfway. So when you're having sex, you don't always have to be competing with each other. And I think this is a dynamic that often happens. This has happened to me in my personal life, in my relationships with women, is that sometimes, because I'm naturally a little bit more directive and dominant, and sometimes we would end up fighting for, not control, but fighting to be that person, and it just always can be, it's hard to explain also for people who haven't been in this situation or have always been in relationships where there was like a clear person directing or a clear person penetrating, whichever definition you prefer of top and bottom. I think it's really important to recognize here that you don't always have to be competing there. You know, you don't always have to fulfill a role perfectly. And sometimes the role elevates your experience, and sometimes the role is there and you feel dragged to it, like you feel you have to do it. So what would happen if you redefined these roles for each other? What if it was mutual? What if it was directive together? What if it, and I might be losing some of you here, so let me word this differently. What if the person who was wearing the strap or fingering or going down wasn't the one necessarily in control of everything? So you're topping from the bottom, basically, but it doesn't have to be super directive the way that you would with when you're topping someone. We talked about this like two questions back, but like the praise directive is always really fun and hot for a lot of people, like telling them things, like not being like, yeah, take it, but it's like you flip it on its head and you're like, yeah, make me take it. It's like that kind of thing where like you're pushing them on in that regard. But if this is also, if we talk about just like the physical act of topping, so like if you're the person giving the pleasure and you're usually, and then you're now like receiving it and it feels a little bit weird to you, again, like focus on like the role of giving, because we're always giving a little bit when we're receiving and vice versa, right? And what do I mean by that? For example, if someone is going down on you, like you are giving them feedback and you're giving them pleasure as well. It's like a yin-yang situation. Like there's a little bit of giving and receiving, and there's a little bit of receiving and giving. And when you're going down on someone, you're receiving pleasure from them because you are receiving their body language, their communication, you're receiving their kind of vibe. I don't want to use energy, but you know what I mean. So think about how you can play with those roles. How much can you be receiving when you're giving, and how much can you be giving of yourself when you're receiving? And I think it is hard for some people to put this into context, so I'll give you really specific examples. When you're going down on someone, you want to be receiving their body language, but you also want to let them sometimes take over and direct and guide you to what they want. So you're not just giving them and they're taking it, you're guiding and you're facilitating pleasure together. And this framework and this perspective change can be really impactful because it can also help you communicate with each other more effectively. So when someone's going down on you, you're not just laying there and taking it. I mean, at least I hope you're not, because there's way more to explore than that. You don't have to just like let someone do something that's not super satisfying. You can be touching their head. You can be moving them. You can be guiding them. You can be asking for what you want. You can be giving them that much more. And in these situations, obviously people are already there a lot of the time. And this is just a matter of, and I can so relate to this so much. Like I love being the one who makes that person feel really good. I just like love like watching them. I don't know, especially with girls, it's like I just love being that person. I love watching them. I love doing that stuff to them. And I think that it's really hard when you're in a position where you can't watch that happen. And so that's when I switch it to like, what about mutually beneficial stuff? So sharing a toy together, doing stuff together, swapping really quickly and taking turns. So there's not just always one top, it's like you're topping interchangeably. You don't have to follow this escalator. And I talk about this like heteronormative, like relationship escalator and sexual escalator a lot. And I don't know how much of it I really believe is like innate versus learned. And that's a conversation for a different episode. This one's fun and sexy, so I'm gonna keep it that way. But sometimes I find that queer relationships do start to turn into a different type of escalator where it's like, I'm the top, so this is what I have to do. And it's like hard for some people to steer clear of these tropes. So define it for yourself. Don't be like, oh, I miss topping and now I just have to kind of receive and I'm not super into it. Find those ways that you two can meet in the middle, and you might not be topping 100% of the time, but like there's not going to be times where it's like just one of you. Like that doesn't have to be the case. Like, I know for some people it's really hard to switch those roles, but you have to be able to find a little bit of each role in the other in order to come together on this. And sometimes it's a deal breaker, and I get it, but you're not going to lose the essence of who you are as a top, because that's you. That's your personality. That's who you are. And it will shine through. I promise. It's going to come through, and it's going to feel amazing if you let go of those expectations of what you're supposed to be doing. And also, what would happen if neither one of you was topping and you just didn't decide on the role beforehand? And instead of competing for dominance, you're doing things at the same time. How would that feel? What if there were no words except for like words of consent and affirmation, like, you know, that? But what if there were no words for one time? Like, what if you took that off the table and you had to focus on body language again, minus obviously consent words? What would that feel like? What would that be like? How would that change your dynamic? There's so much to play with here that I think you're on the surface still. You're not tapping into the potential here. If you're both able to switch around with your roles, it doesn't have to switch one off. You can definitely have this combined and beautiful collaborative effort. And I encourage you to explore that, because that can be really, really hot and sexy. And I look forward to an update and see how you guys are in a couple weeks. Okay, so the next question is called Big Gifter. Oh, damn. All right. So he goes, I want to give my girlfriend a sex toy for her birthday, but I don't really know where to start. She has a bullet vibe and a G-spot bent insertable vibrator, but I think she would really like something more intense. Okay, a G-spot bent insert. Oh, okay, I know what he's talking about. It's like a little skinny kind of stick with an egg shape at the end, and it's specifically to press on that front vaginal wall. Okay, he continues. She's always going up to the highest setting and then wishing there would be more. How do I pick something she will enjoy, but without going into territory that might overwhelm her? She has expressed some concern over Hitachi wands. Anything too extreme or powerful? Oh, girl, you don't have to be afraid. I know they look scary, but I promise you they're not. But if you don't want one, you don't want one, and that's okay. But I think I understand what the issue may be. So she has a bullet vibe. By the way, first off, you do know where to start. You're actually super attentive. You know what she already has, and you know how she uses it. Like, she goes up to a higher setting, and then she's like, okay, that's it. Like, where, I wish there was more. I wish there was one more. So I think the issue is, like, with the bullet vibe and this insertable, is that they might not be rumbly. I think she's looking for more power, not necessarily more frequency of the buzzing, because some vibrators are super buzzy, they're high frequency, and some are super rumbly. And there's a big difference. The rumbly ones have the wavelengths, there's more space between them, so they penetrate a little bit deeper in and into those nerves. So buzzy toys are more topical, or, you know, they kind of just stay surface level. Like, they might irritate people's skin. Sometimes when people tell me that using their vibe makes them feel a little itchy, and they don't have any like pelvic floor or nerve issues, but they kind of just, their skin feels a little itchy and tingly after. Sometimes it's because they're using a vibe that's so high frequency and buzzy, and it's just kind of like itching on their skin. Like, it's just going back and forth and back and forth on their skin. Then I ask them to switch to a rumbly vibe, and they're like, oh yeah, the itching is totally gone. Like, sometimes the numbness happens, but that's after a while. And also it's not harmful, but I'll get into that at a different time. But rumbly vibes penetrate a little bit deeper through the skin into those deep nerves, and that can be so, so satisfying. So instead of switching to maybe a bigger toy or a more intense toy, maybe just go for a lower frequency. So that rumbly, lower toned toy, that's why the Hitachi is so good. It's not necessarily because of the size, but the size, there's a bigger motor in there, and the bigger the motor, the more like rumbly they can be. That's why those like Sibian machines are so exciting for people. It's not because of like the size, it's because of the intensity of the vibration. There's more space between the wavelengths that are vibrating, so it's feeling a lot deeper, and it's bringing more blood flow and all that. But I'll get off my soapbox here about sex tech. But a really great rumbly toy, I know Bender from Unbound, and this is like, not, I'm not trying to have some bias here, but if she wants something that's both insertable and to use on the clit, definitely love that one, and is more rumbly than some buzzy ones. You can also try to get her a suction toy that vibrates, because maybe she's looking for just like a different sensation. So the Satisfyer Pro 2 Plus is a really great start for suction toys. It's not the best suction toy like on the market, but what I like about this is that it's a great suction toy, but it has vibration. So if she doesn't like the suction, she can still use it as a vibrator, and is a pretty rumbly one. All things considered, it's kind of a win-win. You can also try to get her a like rabbit style that has a super adjustable head, if she wants something that's insertable and on the clit at the same time, because she has those two. But then she can also use the tip just on the clit when you guys are using it together. So that's kind of a win-win. You can also give her something that can be exchanged, or you can go together to a store. That depends definitely like where you live, obviously. Or you can shop online for one. You can just set a budget and then you can scroll together and look at things. But if you want to give this to her for her birthday, obviously, I would go with Bender. I think that would be really great. Or a smaller Hitachi. What if you just get her like a smaller version? The Le Wand Mini is apparently really great. It might be a little too buzzy for her, but try it. Also, if you don't like the Hitachi, there's like other types of magic wand style toys. Ollie from Unbound is my favorite. Also, like you can use it as a back massager. Like if she doesn't want to use it on her clit, there's other ways to use it that are fantastic. So don't even worry. And she can just use it wherever. But yeah, get something that's returnable or refundable, or get a gift card or something, or get her something great for her birthday and then also a gift card. I don't know. That's just my idea. But all right. So the next question, threesome conundrum. My partner and I love having WWM threesomes. Okay, wait, woman, woman, man. Okay. I don't know why in my head I read that as like WWE, like the wrestlers. Like the wrestlers have written into the podcast, like, help, please. We're having such a threesome conundrum. All right, so my partner and I love having a woman, woman, man threesome and need some fresh ideas. We have someone in our lives that is a frequent partner and we really love her, but we feel like we're heading into a rut. So we both actually love vaginal penetration. I know, what are the odds? We avoid swapping back and forth V to V because it can sometimes cause irritation. How can we both receive penetration at the same time? We both have a V, he has a penis. Okay, the reason it causes irritation, by the way, is sometimes even with no present STIs, neither one of you necessarily has a yeast infection or something. The vaginal flora doesn't really want to mix with another vaginal flora. That's why even people that are together for a long time, they avoid like sharing toys or dildos or like swapping and stuff like that. It doesn't cause issues for everybody. So sometimes you just have, I know it sounds bad, but sometimes it's just like trial and error. But sometimes it's just because you're putting those yeast cells or Gardnerella cells into your vagina and then it causes an overgrowth. There's like a lot of reasons for this. But in general, like the vaginal microbiome doesn't really want to mix with another person's. And by the way, that doesn't mean that like you're not clean or anything. Just this is how it happens. But again, some people don't get bothered by it at all. But there are a couple things that I guess you can do. You know, the obvious is that like you can even have him, his penis doesn't even have to be involved in this one. You can get a double-ended dildo and then he can move it back and forth and you two can kiss even during it, or you can be laying across from each other or something like that. Same thing, like you can use a toy and then like he can work kind of twice as hard. I feel like this sometimes also changes the dynamic of everything, which is kind of fun. So yeah, that's an idea. If you're really worried here about the V to V action, like you said it, like the vagina to vagina issue, where the issue specifically is like his penis is going in her and then coming out and going in you. And it's like you don't want to always be like swapping condoms or like, you know, all that stuff. You can technically, like you could wear an internal condom. They used to be called the female condom, but they're now called internal condoms. I think unfortunately in the US, like I think you do need a prescription most of the time, but they are available at some clinics. But like if this is something you really want to do, you can do it. Like you could wear an internal condom. I think the reason that they're not always super recommended is that they don't cover the entire vulva. And so if somebody with a penis is having sex with you, like there is still STI transmission like possibilities, because the outside of the ring doesn't necessarily cover everything, versus like if you cover up the penis, then pre-cum and fluids like won't touch the vulva at all, which is great. Obviously, skin-to-skin contact happens with, like, the balls and the vulva and all that stuff, but specifically, like, the fluids won't necessarily come into contact with the vulva. But in this case, it's, like, the perfect case for an internal condom, I guess, because you're not really worried about him and his fluids. You're mostly worried about, like, him transmitting her fluids to you through going back and forth. This kind of, I know, it kind of shatters that illusion in a lot of porn and a lot of, like, swapping and stuff like that. But a lot of people do get super irritated with, like, swapping vaginal fluids, and that's just how it is, unfortunately. Isn't that, like, a cruel thing that nature does? I find it very cruel. Cruel with an R, not cool. I'm not, like a randomly telling people, like, oh yeah, I think it's so cool that nature, this is not what God intended. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying cruel with an R. But yeah, I think that those two things could definitely work. Or you could wear a strap-on and you guys could get into a little sandwich. You could be in a little spoon sandwich, or one of you is in doggy style getting strapped down while the other one is getting dick down. Like, you can get a little creative here, but it seems like you guys want to swap. So you could try to get the internal condom, or he can just swap. One person's condomed, one isn't, and he only can go back and forth like twice. Like something like that, you know? But if you definitely want it at the same time, you can also, there are thigh harnesses, there are a lot of toys that can help with this. One of you can also wear like something called the strapless strap-on. Which goes inside, and then you would have to take two. Actually, scratch that. scratch that. Unless you're really open to that idea, but sounds like a lot. But I think the next question is about double penetration. So this is from someone who, these next questions, they didn't necessarily give a little cute title, but they just gave their name. So this is Jamie, and she asks, I love double penetration with my partner and a toy, and we've been teasing the idea of having a threesome with a friend of ours who says he's down. I'm worried about the size and being overwhelmed, but I'm also really, really excited. Do you have any general tips? I do have some general tips, but before I have general tips, I am just reminded of, this is like a while ago, my friend and I were talking about this, and he was saying that a lot of the time guys will say that they would be like super down for a threesome with another guy and a girl, and then when it comes down to it, they kind of freeze up and panic. And I find that really interesting, because I think it's kind of the opposite in my life with a lot of women, where they're like, I don't know if I would really be down for that. And when it comes down to it, they're super into it. And I'm like, that's so funny. Like, it's kind of the opposite. It's just an interesting, I would love to look at the gender roles of threesomes in a large, like, sociological study. I think that would be so crazy. But anyway, yeah, this can go a number of ways. And if your friend really is down, you can do this. You can have the threesome first without double penetration on the table, and just see how it goes with like swapping back and forth or doing different things, because this might be a good way to kind of test the waters if this is really something you want to do, to take it further. And you can even incorporate the toy there, but like not necessarily have both of them in you at the same time. I think this is a good way also to test the vibe and the general trust level of all of this. Or you could go for it and just draw up some boundaries first while also not setting super high expectations. I think that's really important. You want to manage your expectations here. There's a lot that can go wrong, and there's probably going to be those moments where you're kind of giggling and like trying to make it work and it's not really working, and that's okay. That's part of it. I think that's sometimes not what we always see happening, so it's really important to remember that anything can happen, and it's okay if it doesn't work out fully the way you fantasized it. You can still have a really amazing experience. So some people like to assign roles first, like you can go here and you can go here, and don't mix them up, especially the public health girlies in chat, let me know. But you should not be going ever from like ass to vagina, ever. If you go from vagina to ass, that's fine, but you don't want to go back. So sometimes this is also like important just to keep safety and hygiene and STI spread and infections, all of that. You want to make sure you have that figured out, because you don't want to be like fumbling around with this and deciding last minute. So sometimes it's good to assign those roles beforehand. And sometimes we don't want to set up rules or boundaries or roles or anything because we don't want to like assume what will happen. So this is a lot to throw at somebody before you've even done anything. That's why I'm saying sometimes it's good to do something first and say like, I don't want to do this right now, but I do want to play around and just see what happens, but stop it before it gets too far. You don't always have to do it, you know, you don't have to go from 0 to 60. I say that all the time, but it's so true. But it is also totally valid to drop a scenario and work to make the fantasy happen. People do this all the time. People in kink spaces do this. They create this framework to play around in, and I think it definitely translates to other stuff as well. I guess technically group sex is kinky, so I guess this does definitely apply to you as well. But it does work better sometimes when you create this framework and these boundaries and these kind of roles to play in, and then you go from there, because also it's freeing to not wonder, am I going to go too far or make a misstep? Obviously those things can happen, but there's some kind of safeguards in place. Also, because I did wonder about the toy, and the toy was not super big, so I am going to suggest to Jamie now on the podcast that your partner can insert a larger toy while you're inside of you to see if that's really how you like that and see how it feels, or take some time solo to experiment with this. Really tap into your desire, tap into what you want, try this out, get two of similar size toys, and then figure out also what you're into so that when it comes to it, you have a little bit more of a grasp of what the sensation is like, and then there are no scary surprises in terms of, oh, that's not how I thought this would feel. Obviously, it's not going to feel identical to how you're doing it alone, but you have sometimes more control of depth when you can manage through that surprise. So do you prefer, for example, going in and out at the same time? Do you want them to have different rhythms? Is there something you prefer more? Depth? Taking turns, different speeds, different pressures, what positions are best for you. These are good things to figure out on your own, and then you can have a little bit more to play around with. For example, do you want to lay on your back while someone's under you and then the other one's over you? Does that overwhelm you? Because sometimes people find that to be a little bit too much because their face is covered, like it's, but some people really love. Do you want to maybe ride one of them while the other one's behind you? Maybe it's good to get used to that. Like if you're always doing this with your partner while in a certain position, maybe you want to try different positions first with him before you invite another person, because that position might not work for that person, you know? Maybe you want to try something totally new. You can lay on your side with one spooning you and then the other one in front of you, but or like to the side of you. Sometimes though this doesn't work because there's too much leg action. So you can also lay on your side, put your pillow under your hips or put something kind of like to prop you up, and then they're both standing on the edge of the bed, and then one of them is entering from one angle and the other one from the other. But keep in mind also, talk to your partner about like how much does he want to get involved with this other guy? How much, you know, because there's sometimes also, and this is what my friend was saying, that like there's gonna be a point where like your balls might touch, and like, are you gonna freak out about that, or is that something that's okay? There's also that kind of stuff where sometimes things sound really great in a fantasy, but then when it comes down to it, people are like, wait, that's not at all, I didn't even think about this. So definitely like lay out all the possibilities. And remember too, sometimes fantasies are fantasies and we don't have to act on them. But also if we want to act on them, it's in our best interest to do it in a way that's like proactive. And if you're going to make it happen, make it happen. Like fulfill that fantasy. Satisfy yourself. And you don't have to settle for putting yourself in a position where you're like, oh, this isn't exactly what I really wanted, you know, like it didn't really go that great. Use it as a learning experience. Okay, that's different from how I thought it would go, but now I know and I can move on, you know? So it's all about perspective and framing as well. But yeah, good luck. I know also there's those strap-ons that people with a penis can wear where there's like another dildo attached. I actually saw it last time when I was at Loste. I was like looking at it in the shelf. I was like, oh my god, you have this now? And she was like, yeah. So it's available there if my Icelandic audience is listening. But I thought that was really cool to see one. I've never like held one of those in person. So I was looking at it in the box and I was like, oh my god, that's so cool. Anything's out there. I feel like there's so many different types of toys out there. And I am so jaded. I like don't get surprised about anything anymore. I just get excited. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like somebody's gonna use this and have a great time. Like I'm so happy when other people are happy and fulfilled. So it just makes me happy. All right, so next question. Vanessa says, I need to set the scene literally before sexy time. I'm talking about mood lighting, candles, all of the cliches. I even like to take a bath first and really prepare myself with a relaxing time. Am I high maintenance or is this normal? Vanessa, you are not high maintenance for doing things that feel right for you. Just speaking like strictly about is this normal or not? Maybe you have a ritualistic fetish or you are engaging in compulsions or you need to feel extremely clean, but that's probably not what's happening here. And based on what you've told me here, that's definitely not something, like when we say, when you hear footsteps, think of a horse, not a zebra. You know, when you hear hooves clomping in the hallway, like you want to imagine it's a horse and not a zebra. It's one of those things where it's like, this is something that people do all the time. Of course, there's some like warning signs, but I think you just have responsive desire. And a lot of people have this and what is theorized to be responsive desire. And that means that they require specific environments or moods or emotional states in order to facilitate more pleasure. And it's less about what you're doing and it's more about the mindset that it puts you in. So some people get super horny after they've cleaned the whole house, and it's because they're just clear and they just feel great. They accomplish something and there's nothing around them that is distracting them. Some people, it's like, it's not because the act of cleaning itself is a fetish. It's because now they have more space literally and mentally in order to allow for the opportunity of pleasure. So if this is working for you, keep it up. If you find it super tedious, or if you find yourself spiraling, if you miss a step or you have to like start from the beginning to do things right in order to have sex, then it's of course worth talking to a therapist about. But overall, wanting these things that we think is super cliche, or it's not bad and it's not cheesy, and it's what makes you feel relaxed and empowered to choose pleasure. And that's beautiful. You're a romantic. Embrace it. Do the stuff that makes you feel sexy. If you want to take that candlelit bath in the bubbles, do it. You know, it can make you feel in touch with yourself. You might even, it's like foreplay for yourself. Like that is so hot and beautiful. Don't worry about if it's not what you have imagined or not what everyone else does. This is your sex life. It's yours. So if this is something that makes you feel great, then do it. A lot of people require this. A lot of people don't realize they require it and they're made to feel like they're high maintenance. This is not something I personally relate to, but I'm still this passionate about it because of how many people tell me that they are like this. For some people, it might be rooted also in the feeling of inadequacy or shame, but not for most people that talk to me about this. And so I really recommend you read the book Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. She just released a new book called Come Together, which I'm really excited to read. It's about sex in long-term partnerships. So I'm really excited for that one, and I'll definitely be writing about it. But Come As You Are explains this exact phenomenon. Why is it that the candlelit bath helps you more than, you know, sexting all day does, you know? And for some people, the other thing helps more. Like the first person who asked a question today, the praise kink girl, I mean, she definitely will probably get riled up going to the gym because it's the mindset she's being put in. It's not because she has like a fetish for being talked to like that necessarily, or it's because she has a kink for the gym. It's because of the response that it elicits in the brain. And that's definitely something that's common and normal. So just embrace it, girl. Here's a little lightning round of confessions. So are you ready? These are not questions, but I might comment on them. We'll see. All right. Number one, I had my first orgasm with a partner ever. I had never even had one in front of a partner before. It was with my ex during a hookup that made it harder to not get back together, which sucks, but hey, at least I know I can do it. Okay, damn. Wow. Your first one with a partner. Congrats. That's exciting. That's amazing. It does suck that it was with your ex, but you know, we don't need them. You can do it again. I believe in you, girl. My boyfriend spit in my mouth for the first time and it made me literally go feral. I've never been that turned on before. Ah, God, I love when people use the word feral. It's so good. Feral is a perfect word for that. All right, number three. I am so nervous to use my strap-on with a girl that I wear it around sometimes just to get used to it. And sometimes I stroke it to see what it feels like. I think we've all been there, the people that wear a harness. I've done that. I've worn it just to get used to it. That's so normal and common. Don't worry. I think everyone has those moments where they're like, I should just put it on just in case. Some people have the experience where the first time they ever put it on is in front of a partner and it helps them, makes them feel more safe. I was more of the person that was like, I need to put this on and see what it's like because I'm not gonna fumbling around with it, you know? I think that's totally normal. All right, next one. I installed a mirror across the bed and it's really sexy when we do it, but it's terrifying at night, so I bought curtains. Now the sound of curtains swishing gets me going a little bit. Oh my God, you Pavlov dogged yourself into getting horny at the sound of curtains opening. Oh my God, I love you. Wow. All right, next one. My girlfriend and I have access to a lake house and have been there with another couple a few times. It started out flirty, but now it's getting to the point of us skinny dipping and dancing and cuddling with each other's partners after a few drinks. I think that we're afraid to make the next move in case it goes badly or messes up the friendship, but this time they invited us to a very luxurious Airbnb. My girlfriend and I discussed it, and I think we're going to make a move. I'll update you how it goes. Oh my God. You're going to be swingers. That is a wild swingers at the luxury Airbnb. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, tell me how it goes. That is a story. That's kind of cute. I hope that goes well. Because yeah, obviously it can make the friendship weird, but it sounds like you guys are already, it sounds like you're flirting with each other. What do they say? Skinny dipping and dancing and cuddling with each other's partners. I don't know about you, but when I go on a couple's trip, maybe I'll dance, you know, obviously dancing, but it sounds like you guys are getting naked first. So skinny dipping is fine in a group, but it's I don't know, the way they phrase this, it's cuddling. I think that's the one. I don't think I've ever cuddled with my friend's boyfriend. No, you know? So I think everyone's kind of, yeah, go for it. See what happens. Let me know. Okay, another confession. I had my first multiple orgasm the other day in the shower, and I came so hard, I think I pulled something in my back, but it was amazing. And I did it to myself, which I'm just so proud of. It makes me really proud, and I can't tell anyone, so I'm telling you. Don't worry, girl. I'm not gonna tell anybody. Who am I gonna tell? I recently realized I was into latex. I kept remembering how I felt in my Halloween costume. Oh, interesting. I'm guessing you went as Catwoman, maybe? Or anything with those latex gloves or boots? Which, by the way, Halloween costumes, I feel like they are so often gateways to kinks. Let me handcuff you and the latex gloves and all of the stuff. I'm like, there's always an accessory also. It's like the girl's walking around with her purse and then a police baton or something. And I'm like, you guys, just do the thing in bed that you want to do. Just do it. All right, last one. My best friend and I recently swapped remotes in our wearable vibes. And I think I might have been inspired by an episode of yours. Okay, I was gonna say, this one sounds very familiar. A little too familiar, all right? Oh, I lied, there's one more. There's one at the bottom of the page here. Okay, oh dear. I had a sex dream about my coworker and now I can't look them in the eyes at work. And I'm just waiting for this to wear off. Oof. So many of us have been there. Sometimes you have a sex dream about someone and you're like, why? Why them? Why did, no, that's not right. You know, you're like, ugh, God. And you're like, I guess they're cute, but now I just have to, you know, now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I've definitely been there. I had a really surprising sex dream a couple weeks ago about someone where I woke up, literally woke up, sat up in bed like a cartoon and went, no, 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 no. In my sleep, I woke up to myself being no, 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 no. It was wild. It was about the most random person ever. Like, I don't know what happened in my head to make that those two things happen. But sex dreams don't always mean that you want the person. Sometimes it's just something that happens in our brain. Kind of those intrusive thoughts that's like, what if that happened? And sometimes it's just us processing memories and that just happens. Because sometimes we have sex dreams about people and we're definitely not interested in them. There might be just something about the dynamic that we find sexy, but not the person themselves. Yeah, don't sweat it. It'll pass. It'll pass. But that's all for my Valentine's Day episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you had a good time. I definitely had a good time. I was so cozy here in the rain, and I'm going to be in New York this week, so I look forward to seeing some of you, some of my lovely listeners and my audience that sometimes I get to see you guys, and it just makes me feel so great. If you want to support me, just remember those links are in the description, and I'm sending you all my love from New York this time. So enjoy it and enjoy your Valentine's Day. I love you all so much.